sorts of things. And Dan's right. They did escape yesterday. I don't like these seven-inning doubleheaders, by the way. And I don't mean that because it hasn't been very good for the Cubs and the White Sox. What are they, 1-3 in doubleheaders so far? I don't like the rhythm of them. I can't quite get the rhythm of them. And it is not fun. It hasn't been fun. I don't even like watching them. I mean, you watch because it's baseball and it's on, but it's hard to even figure out how you're going to manage this whole thing. This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4KIDS. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Get out of here, Tony Gill. You don't even work here anymore. It's noon on Tuesday, so you know what that means. It's the David Ross Show.
Chicago!
Cubs manager David Ross on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
With work and practice, I guess, is there becomes a component of it that you want to not make it the same and mix it up. You know, it can get monotonous. Let them see something a little different. Let them laugh. Let them get some work in when it doesn't even feel like really work. And have some fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
David Ross, World Series hero.
I want to make sure you're not going to be my pitching coach this show.
David Ross, Tuesdays at noon with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
David Ross getting ready to join us here on The Score. The Cubs sitting at 14-7, 3.5-game lead over Milwaukee, and it's a good thing that they were able to split that doubleheader last night, because I felt the panic coming from my Cub fan friends. I felt that kind of, oh no, like, is this the losing streak that ends up turning things around in the wrong direction for the Cubs? And I enjoyed watching them battle back in that second game, and you make the choice to bring David Bodie off the bench. If you looked at Bodie's pinch hitting numbers, by the way, like, that guy is kind of born to do that in that spot. You pick out a spot for him and you get him an opportunity, and he makes good with it. The boat god was at it yet again. And so we're going to talk with David Ross momentarily about that and talk about everything that has to do with your Chicago Cubs. And he's joining us right now, as a matter of fact. He joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park, or you can just check out alpamonteford.com. Rossi, how are you?
What's going on? How are you? Good morning.
I'm good.
It is now.
Well, technically, yes, but it's all good, man. I mean, you just managed a doubleheader yesterday, so I'm not surprised. what are these seven-inning doubleheaders like?
It's good, man. I mean, you know, it is what it is. You try to squeeze it in. I think the main thing you're trying to navigate there is, like, pitching and making sure guys are healthy and maybe letting your starter go a little bit longer on that first game. As you saw yesterday with Kyle, he was throwing really well. Try to stretch him out as long as you possibly can and save that bullpen for the second game, because we needed it.
Yeah, we were talking about David Bodie before you joined us. What went into the decision to have him pinch it in that situation?
You just look at the options and guys that have got to face left-handed pitching a lot. David, you know, has had some decent numbers off left-handed pitching over his career, you know, trying to match up who's just swinging the bat as well, can hit the ball hard and maybe pop one for you as he did last night. You know, that was such a big hit, and that's so hard to do. I don't think people or guys get enough credit. Pinch hitting's hard enough, and pinch hit homer at that is really impressive. So that was fun to see it last night.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because I'm fascinated by the people who do it well. When I was growing up and we were around the same age, like, I remember, oh, here's Rusty Staub coming into the game. Rusty Staub's about to get a knock as a pinch hitter. So what do great pinch hitters do, that the ones that you've played with and now the guys that you manage, what do those guys do to stay involved and ready?
Well, the first thing, and I think the most important, is they get a start every once in a while, those bench players, to have four consecutive at bats where you can find your timing. And then their prep work during the game, just whether it's watching video on the guy or their cage work to stay ready in game, knowing themselves really well, their approach, simplifying things, and then getting in there and letting it go. You know, you're not going to know where your swing is. I didn't pinch hit a lot in my career, but when you do, you got to get in there and kind of let it fly, because you need to see where your body's at, where your swing's at, where the timing is. And David did a really nice job last night. But I think there's a lot about preparation and timing and simplifying your swing.
That moment where, I mean, you guys had struggled, you know, hitting the ball throughout both of those games. And that moment when he comes through, we were able to hear a little bit of what was going on in the dugout. But what was that? It felt like an exhale from your guys inside that dugout and a celebration when he launched it.
Yeah, I mean, you're scuffling through a day. You hate to lose, you know, losing two games in a day is not ideal. So the fact that David came up with that big hit, yeah, I mean, it's a huge win for us. We had dropped four before that, and they were close ones, and we had played really well. You know, it's not like we had played bad. We just lost a couple close games there to Milwaukee, and then dropping the first one to St. Louis in division. You're trying to do all you can to you know, win a ball game, and you know, when somebody comes up late in the game, when it's not looking good and you're down and guys have been grinding at bats and getting on, we just hadn't been able to come through with the big hit. So for David to do that last night was huge for us. Felt really good in the dugout.
Cubs manager David Ross joining me here on The Score. With the losing streak, and you're right to point it out, and I've seen other people who cover the team point this out too, that your guys were it wasn't like you guys were playing sloppy during the four games that you lost. So how do you go about staying positive, but also saying, hey, guys, we need a win in here? And what's different between going through a losing streak as a player versus going through a losing streak as a manager?
they all stink, I'll tell you that. You know, when you're not winning ball games, you're just trying to find a way to win, and guys are doing everything they can. You just try to stay positive. You know, there's good losses, I would say, and bad losses. I mean, you want to win them all, obviously, but, like, you know, a good loss is when you're close and the other team, you just don't come up with a big hit. You get guys on and the other team made pitches, and I thought that's how what happened against Milwaukee. We were in all those ball games. One of them were extra innings. You know, those things are going to come about, but, you know, you try not to get too down on those, especially when we had been playing so well and our record gave us a little bit of breathing room. Where you know you're going to have some close games that you're not going to pull off, and that's just, it just feels like that's part of baseball. You'd like to win as many of those as you can, and then we'll continue to grow from it and learn. But you know, when you're a manager, you got to keep the vibe as best you can. Stay with the same personality, be the same guy when you come in every day, and try to continue on focus on getting better and everything you do daily. And so we're where we want to be at the end of the season.
Rossi, what's the toughest part of scouting this version of the Cardinals?
Well, there's no information on the season yet. You know, they haven't played enough games, whether it's scouting reports, how they're going to use their team, how they're going to use their young guys. They've got a lot of young guys they've called up. When you're facing a new pitcher that's, you know, new to Major League Baseball, you don't know what he's going to throw. You don't know how he's going to sequence. You don't know how he's going to handle the moment. So being aggressive early in your attack or waiting them out if they've got some walks in their minor league numbers and how that plays in. And same with hitters. You know, you don't know where the guy's hole is yet and how aggressive he's going to be. Can you sneak the first pitch fastball down and away? Are they jumping all over it? Do you need to start soft and finish hard? Will they chase outside of the zone? How they're going to use their pinch hitters, you know, with all the double headers, and how they're going to take care of their position players and pitchers, and who they might have up and substitute. I mean, there's a gazillion decisions that are going on, or the thought process of those and the possibility of those that go throughout a game. And when a team hasn't played a whole lot of games and they've got a ton of double headers coming up, you don't know how they're going to take care of their players. So, you know, what moves to make or counter make as a manager, and the scouting aspect of it is still a little bit difficult because you just don't know how they're going to play out and use their guys.
obviously this season there's a lot of unprecedented stuff that's going on, and what you're being asked to do, and a lot of managers with people trying to get these games in, like the idea of having to manage a series with multiple doubleheaders, what are the things that are important to you when trying to make sure that you've got the right guys for the right situation? And do you have to manage a game ahead when you know that there's a doubleheader on your schedule?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you got to manage the day, right? The most important thing to me is my players' health. I think we're not going to be very successful if we have a lot of guys going down with injuries. So getting guys off their feet, playing your bench guys, getting those guys looks, getting those guys at bats, using the totality of the team is important. You know, all those things for me are what stand out. You got to take care of your players. We've done a good job up to this point of playing good baseball and setting ourselves up to be in first place and playing good baseball early on. But we got to continue to make sure these guys are fresh. They feel fresh. They're going to play better when they're healthy and got their legs underneath them. So balancing that with guys like Anthony Rizzo and Wilson Contreras and Javi Baez and these guys that I've had to play every day, Kyle Schwarber. You know, these guys that are getting a lot of innings under their belt, it's important that I keep their legs under them and keep them healthy.
When it comes to Chris Bryant, what's going on with him? I know that you've talked a little bit about, hey, like this guy's fighting through some stuff. So as much as you can share, like what's going on with him?
He's got some hand and wrist things going on that are still bugging him from diving for that ball in Cleveland. You know, he's had a couple things that have creeped up on throughout the season, but in this early going. But the main thing is his hand and thing. He's got a little bit of a wrist issue and a finger issue that's still bothering him at times when he's hitting, I think, and when he dove for that ball in Cleveland.
I mean, that's a guy that he's got so much value for you because he can play multiple positions, obviously, at the top of your lineup. What goes into deciding, is it better to play Chris or to sit Chris for you?
Just talking to Chris. I trust in the player and their feedback and listening to them, looking in their eyes when we have these conversations and letting them know what's important to me. You know, when I have the conversation of taking care of like I said already of their bodies and knowing I need them at their best. You know, this game's extremely hard when you're 100% healthy. When you're playing at 85-90%, it's just even that much more difficult. So I want them in a good frame of mind, a good headspace. If you're hesitant at all, whether it's running the bases or getting out of the box, whether it's a lower body injury or a hand injury when you go to swing or field a ground ball or a pop up. All those things factor in as much as we don't talk about those things. I just, you know, I've seen too many great players not have great years because they're dealing with small issues. And those things tend to linger. You create bad habits really fast, trying to make up for something that might be bothering you or that's giving you a little bit of pause in your approach or in your play. And I just don't want that for my guys. I'd rather take some time, get 100% healthy, make sure they're good in a good headspace with no hesitation and be able to go out there and play freely.
Cubs manager David Ross joining me here on The Score. Rossi, how would you assess what we've seen from Craig Kimbrel? And before, I know that I'm not your pitching coach, but I have really I have really loved watching him and I've enjoyed the last couple times out. So what are you seeing?
Well, what's your take? Give me your take first, and then Lawrence, give me your take, and I'll give you mine. How about that?
All right, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a guy who his fastball is like what it was before, where you were talking about it's got some life on it. Even at 96, what I enjoyed was the Avisail Garcia at-bat, not the strikeout, but the second pitch in the sequence where he got him high in the zone, and it looked like it had a little hair on it, a little life at the end of it, even at 96 versus a flat 97 or 98. His curveball, it seems like he's got good command of it, and now if you're a hitter, you can't sit on the fastball because he can get you out with the curveball now too.
Look at that. Maybe you are my pitching coach. That's a good assessment. No, you're right. You're spot on, buddy. I mean, he's getting behind the baseball with his hand and getting on top of it to create that true backseam, the four-seam ride that when he's best, it's climbing like you're talking about. When you get on the side of the baseball and it runs, and it's, you know, kind of, I call it a barrel finder because it's running flat across the zone. No matter how hard it is, these guys can time that stuff up. So when it's climbing and getting above the barrel, as you're talking about, to Garcia, did it to Smoke the other day, and the backdoor breaking ball. He's looked really good and continues to trend in the right direction. I'm excited. He looks like he's in a good headspace. He's good and calm mentally on the mound. You know, the heart rate's low when he's come off. You can look in his eyes and see he's doing a really good job for us, and he's put in the work, which is the most important thing to get back to where he expects to be and we expect him to be.
All right, then I'm going to take my victory, and I'm going to say good day to you, sir. Good luck with everything for the rest of this series, and good luck for the rest of the week, Rossi.
I appreciate you watching, Lawrence. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
That is David Ross, the manager of the Cubs. See, Herbie? I pay attention to stuff sometimes. I like that I can work with a guy like David Ross where I can be challenged on my opinion and him actually have like expert opinion to back it up. It's good.
Harmless.
Keeps me sharp.
Yeah, it's harmless, and it's also teaches you and also informs him that you know what you're talking about.
Sometimes I know what I'm talking about. But it's great to have him there to be able to bounce this stuff off of. It's different. Like I was saying, like it's different from talking with Joe, but I really like the difference. And when you listen to what Rossi says, like he's very detailed. And I think that there's a lot of learning that can go on for everyone through me. You know what I'm saying? Like the opportunity for all of us to get a little bit smarter about what it is that we're watching. And you can tell that he pays really good attention to these details. And it's weird because you can see why he was such a valued voice, whether it was in Atlanta or Boston or here in Chicago, because those little minor details are a big, big deal. And he understands it. I also thought that what he was saying about Chris Bryant and injured players overall is important to keep in the back of your mind, because the worry is bad habits forming because a guy is trying to grind it out because they know that they're valuable to a team. And with Bryant, there are these things that happen with him often. And that balance between should I be in the lineup today versus my team needs me, but do they need me if I'm 75%? Would it be better to have, you know, Steven Souza Jr. out there in left field for that particular game? It's all a big question. Herbie, can I hear the Bodie homer? Because I want to hear the full version first. Actually, let's do this. Let's do three different ones. Let's do Pat's call of the homer and then Lynn's call of the homer. And I want to see if I can hear the same thing that I saw on the television version, on the radio version. Is that cool?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's do the scores call of the homer first.
Now the 1-0 to Bodie. And David drives one in the air toward deep center field. Back goes Bader to the center field fence. That ball is gone. 3-run homer, David Bodie. Cubs lead 5-4.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure if the scores version had the dugout erupting the way that the television version did. So that was great that it's in there. All right, let's play Len's call of the home run because I felt like the TV mic was right on top of it.
Yeah! A drive into deep center. Back on it, Bader!
Somebody in the batter's box. David Bodie enjoyed watching that one fly out of here.
Oh, man, that's so great. I highlight courtesy of Marquis. Can you isolate just the crack of the bat and the yeah?
Yeah!
That's one of the things that I've so loved about this season, is being able to hear those.